This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the stage of history.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Welcome to the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod. This is episode 16, I believe. My name is Tom, and joined by our intrepid American correspondent, Caleb.
Hello, Tom.
And our Somerset-based reporter, Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Tom.
How's it going? All right?
Yeah, it's okay, although I've got ill. It's always the same. Every time of year, it's always this time of year because the students, they come back to university in Bath, where I live. Is a huge university town. There's two universities, and you suddenly get this massive influx of people. They bring with them all the illness, and yeah.
This is quite interesting. This is interesting, Rob, because I know that students get the blame for a lot of things, but a bout of man flu is, you know, it's a new one.
Yeah, these students. Damn it. I'm okay, though. I'm okay. I'm here for the Dream Pod.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Guys, shall we begin in the usual way that we do and talk a little bit about things we've played, things we've picked up, either Dreamcast-related or otherwise? Yeah. I'm going to start with you, Caleb. Have you been doing anything on the Dreamcast or otherwise?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been doing the new indie release that was sort of an unofficial release. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that later. But as for the Dreamcast itself, I've been messing around a little bit with a couple games, considering what ones would be good for streaming, because I got my streaming set up pretty good now. I've got my basically XSplit, the program, and that's working directly with my video, PVR2. And that is plugged into my HDMI adapter, which is plugged into my Dreamcast. So now I can actually live stream, like, HD footage of all the Dreamcast games where it looks decent when you upgrade, when you do that. It's a little bit of a wonky setup, but it's been working out great.
What about you, Rob? What have you been up to in the intervening weeks since we've been away?
It's all really been on Dreamcast. It's been Ghostblade, which...
Oh, okay.
Which you know about, Tom.
Yeah.
And I imagine anyone else who's been to the site, who's seen the reviews up. Yeah, literally, I got that. You sent me the copy of Ghostblade, and as I said, I reviewed that, and then I've kept playing that on Dreamcast. But then, as I said, I got ill, so I haven't really been playing a multitude of stuff, and there's been zero pickups. But yeah, I don't think I'll talk too much about Ghostblade now because there's not one but two reviews on the Dreamcast Junkyard. So you've got, if you want to know what I think of Ghostblade or what you think of Ghostblade, then go to the Dreamcast Junkyard.
Yeah. I mean, we were planning on discussing Ghostblade a little bit later, but I think we may just touch on some of the issues that people have been not complaining about,
yeah,
but voicing on the Facebook page. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well in a bit. I feel like I'm going to be talking for a while because I have made quite a few pickups since our last episode and also had a few interesting things sent to me as well. So if you don't mind, guys, I'll just kind of burn your ears off for about five or 10 minutes and just explain kind of all the cool things that have happened in the last, was it 2 or 3 weeks since we did our last episode?
Yeah. Let's go for it. Go for it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. The first thing I want to talk about is, well, not really talk about, because we're going to talk about it in depth a bit later on, is I got the DreamCon version 2.
Yeah.
The creator, Chris, sent me that.
Oh, man, that was a great review.
No, thank
you.
Yeah.
Just, God, it was really an interesting setup where you actually showed, like, you know, just, it was just an interesting, it was a different way to do it. And it's just, boy, that looks like a nice piece of hardware.
Yeah, it's really cool. Again, we'll talk about this in greater depth later. But if you don't know what we're talking about, you guys listening to this, if you go to the Dreamcast Junkyard, the main site, about 3 or 4 stories down, you'll find the video review that I did for the DreamCon version 2. So there was that that came in the post. Also, a guy called Ross O'Reilly, who is on the Facebook group, and I think he likes the page as well on Facebook. He's a British expat who lives in Japan, and he sent me a Dreamcast Twin Stick. or virtual on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been after one of these for ages. I did have a bit of a hissy fit on the Facebook group a few months ago because I got outbid at the last minute by somebody. and he said, look, I've got one of these. I won it in an auction with a lot of other stuff, like, you know, some broken consoles and things. And I've already got one, so I don't need it. So if you want it, just pay the postage and I'll send it. And true to his word, he sent it. It arrived in the post on Friday. And so I've been having a little bit of a play around with that. I've only actually played Virtual On and, weirdly, Capcom versus SNK, yeah. Just to see if it worked with any other games. I believe it works without Trigger as well, so I need to give that a go as well.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a really nice piece of kit, and it does the very nice clicky, you know.
I wonder if that would work for Star Lancer. Because the the glowing ball one, I know, works for Star Lancer, but I'm not sure.
Was that the Mad Cats one?
The twin stick one. Yeah, and I don't know the name of it offhand. It's the one, it's basically the flight stick with the big glowing ball on it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to try that with a couple of different space shooters and see what the crack is with that. Game-wise, I picked up Sega Smash Pack, which is the retro compilation. It's got all the Mega Drive and it's for UK Lab Genesis. games on it, and a couple of other like odd things as well. It's got Virtual Cop 2, which I've already got as, you know, the Japanese standalone version. But the games on this are Sonic the Hedgehog, Golden Axe, Shining Force, Wrestle War, Streets of Rage 2, Columns, Virtual Cop 2, Phantasy Star 2, Vector Man, Altered Beast, Revenge of Shinobi, and Sega Swirl. It is a really good compilation, and you do get a lot of bang for your buck, as the phrase goes. The one complaint I do have is the sound is absolutely terrible. It's emulated.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate thing about that collection.
Yeah.
It is one of the physical releases of Sega Swirl, though, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in the UK, Sega Swirl came on one of the Dream On demo discs with the official Dreamcast magazine. That's how it was distributed in the UK. So I was quite interested to see it actually on a retail package in the US. That was quite interesting. But yeah, you get 12 games on the disc. It's brilliant. You get a nice menu, you know, and can't really complain. I think I paid about £7 or £8 for it, so that was a bit of a bargain. Elsewhere, I also picked up the Japanese version of Marvel vs. Capcom, which, awesome. Yeah, it's a game in the UK, in the PAL version at least, it goes for quite a lot these days on eBay. And so, I didn't want to pay a lot for it. I think I paid about £3 for that.
Good price.
Yeah.
Away from the Dreamcast, I've been playing on my Game Boy Advance. I've got Sega Arcade Classics, you know, the one with Outrun and the other Sega games.
Ooh, did you ever find the zombie pinball game? The House of the Dead pinball game for the Advance?
No, I've seen it, but I've never played it.
Yeah, it's a fun game. I love that thing. That's my go-to when I'm doing laundry. We can kill some zombies with a pinball. It's really awesome. Yeah, I'm telling you, the if there's any system that was perfect for doing laundry, it's got to be Advance, because there's so many great games that are just perfect for putting in for about an hour while you're waiting for the thing.
Is it the 101 as well with the backlit screen? So everything just looked like really, really good.
Man, I got a GBA Micro, and man, that thing's a thing of beauty. Love that.
Yeah, I'd love one of those. Unfortunately, they're a bit expensive now, especially here in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
On the 360, I got, for the grand total of, I think it was about £4, I got the Dreamcast Collection and all three Gears of War games.
Yeah, no, I don't want to get too far into my garage selling stuff, but yeah, that's a great deal. especially, I think, for the Dreamcast collection. Was it in good condition, complete and everything?
Mint condition.
Yeah, see, now that's the thing. I've been getting some decent pickups on the 360 and PlayStation 2. I got, like, we have this. You guys don't have Redbox over there, right?
No.
No.
Yeah, see, what happens is Redbox, if you forget to, like, return it, they'll just charge you for the game. And then somebody was just selling like a bunch of Redbox games at the garage sale. So I picked up like so many, like almost current ones, like Call of Duty Ghosts.
Yeah.
I got that for like $1. I got like a bunch of Xbox 360 games, including Far Cry 3 for $3, which was not too bad.
No, it's a great game. It's a great game. I love it. Love all the Far Cries. I'm not too keen on the second one, but all the rest, yeah, love them. Elsewhere, and this is like the end of now what I've been playing, I picked up Pro Evolution Soccer 2016, and also I've been playing Lara Croft Temple of Osiris on the PS4.
It's really good.
I was genius, really? Because it was free as part of PS Plus. I thought, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been playing it. I was playing it earlier on today, and I was just like, yeah, this is actually quite good. Also, as usual, Drive Club and Sound Shapes on the Vita, so that's kind of what I've been focusing on.
It's funny you say that, actually, because that's the one thing that I sort of blanked on it completely, but I picked up FIFA 16, but just because it's a football game, I think it's because we're British and it's just like, of course we're buying a football game each year, you know, it's like taken for granted that it's like, of course I own it, of course, you know, like, it's almost like a non-event, but... What do you think of PES this year?
I think it's fantastic. The only problem I have is that the goalkeepers are far too easy to score against, and your own goalkeeper lets in too many really soft goals.
Oh, really? It's interesting, because, you know, like, I'm not just talking specifically about PES, but I'd say both PES and FIFA last year, I thought, if anything, the keepers were too hard to score against. So I don't know if it's sort of like a knee-jerk reaction. Maybe they'll patch it out.
Hopefully, yeah. There's been a lot of talk on like Twitter and Facebook, you know, these hardcore PES fans saying that it's too easy. But yeah, I mean, that's what I've been playing, and we should probably get back onto Dreamcast because people are probably falling asleep now listening to us talk about FIFA and PES. Okay, move into our first news item then. This episode is... It's a great time to be a Dreamcast owner at the moment because there's so much happening in the community. And the first thing we wanted to talk about is these... there's been two Kickstarters that have both been funded in well under the allotted time. The first one is Alice Dreams Tournament. Now, Caleb, we touched on this possibly in the last episode or the one before. And it's a kind of like a Bomberman clone, isn't it? Do you want to just... basically tell people who maybe didn't hear that episode what it's all about?
Okay, so basically back in the day, Alice Dreams was a sort of like 2D hybrid type thing. And it was very interesting because like for a Dreamcast independent release, it had like really good art and had all these mini games in it. So one of the mini games was kind of like a Bomberman type game. And what they've done is Alice Dreams never really got released, but what they did is they made Alice Dreams Tournaments, which is a expanded Bomberman type game, which it's got VMU support, and it's got so many like nice little bits there. There's different gameplay modes, which is interesting, and I think this is going to be a really great game for like a tournament, and just mess around if you got a couple people around, because it's got 4-player support, which, you know, not a lot of independent games have. There was that weird, like, Ghost one that had 4-player support for the Dreamcast that was, like, kind of a party game type thing. I don't remember the name of that. But that's the latest one that I can think of that had, like, 4-player support for, Dreamcast stuff. So, Alice Dreams Tournaments, the beginner price was actually, like, super low. So, I definitely contributed to the Kickstarter, and it got funded within 2 days, which I think is no surprise because there's a lot of people out there that are willing to pay money for, you know, an arcade type game on the Dreamcast. I think that's, you know, a huge part of the fan base that still buys indie games.
Quite like the art style as well. It looks really professional, especially the video on the Kickstarter page looks really well done. I know one of the guys is a graphic designer by trade, so that probably helped. I backed it today, incidentally. Back to the €25 level, so I get the copy of the game. So I'm looking forward to that coming in the post. One of the interesting features of the game that we probably touched on last time as well is the fact that it uses the VMU in quite an interesting...
And they're even... I don't quite understand this, but they're even like kind of showing off like how you can get a VMU flashlight so you can play in the dark
or something. Yeah, I've seen that.
It's like
an add-on that goes into where the Rumble Pack would go that actually shines a light onto your screen, like a sort of replay in the dark type mode, which is really interesting. It's an interesting time for Dreamcast like hardware development, you know, in general, because we've got the Dreamcon, and now we've got this prototype VMU light, you know, that's potentially could get made. So
I think it's interesting, you know, we were talking just a couple of pods back about like uses for the VMU, and I've noticed with Alice Dreams Tournament that because they've blown through their original goal, which was stupidly low. It was like 8,000 euros.
Well, this is a project that's been going on. They've had like they've had the base game like finished for so long that, you know, it's one of these Kickstarters that I like, where it's like clearly the game is pretty much done. They just need funding for production, which is, you know, it's good, and it's like a stable project. I guess that's the best way to put it.
I've been keeping track of their Facebook page, and they've been putting pictures up of people actually playing the game. So I don't know how complete it actually is now, but people have been pictured playing a game with 4 Dreamcast controllers. So whether or not it's running on Dreamcast hardware already, I couldn't say. But
oh well, I mean. They probably have a version up, because I remember they had like a playable. It's actually, if you have Alice Dreams, like the downloadable thing, like, and you enter in codes and stuff, you can actually play the game, the simplified game, which was the Simple Bomberman one. So I don't know if they're playing that one or if they're playing an updated one. I assume they're playing an updated one, because these guys seem to already have a lot of the stuff like finished and working.
Yeah, it's good good times. The other Kickstarter that's actually just met its goal as well, or certainly the last week or so, is the Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs. Again, we spoke about this one a couple of pods ago. With this one, I mean, there's not really been a lot shown of the actual game itself, but it's an interesting concept. I mean, like I said, it's a run and gun in the vein of Gunstar Heroes or something like that. And yeah, it has been funded now successfully. So,
yeah, it's a little weird that like they do stuff like it's, you know, I'm sure they're gonna like, you know, but it's weird they have like the final version of like the cover art, and yet they don't really have a lot of gameplay footage up. It's a little bit strange.
And also there was the demo disc that you could download and burn and then put into your Dreamcast, but basically all it does is it shows the selection of like stills that you can actually already see on the Kickstarter page, so saying that it's a demo is not really correct.
I don't know what it look, I said this before, like I think this is really, really cool, you know, but I said it before, there's really very little actual like game so far being shown at all, and Gunstar Heroes, that'd be amazing, and I'll keep my fingers crossed. But yeah, there's, what do you guys like think? Like, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's going to be good, and making allusions to Gunstar Heroes is really cool, but Caleb said, like, the best thing they're showing is, like, some pretty whizzy, like, box art and, like, concept stuff, but...
Yeah, and some of the animation that they're showing off is, like, you know, it's... You know, it depends on the gameplay. It might be the aesthetic that they're choosing, but, you know, it's not the, it's not Scott Pilgrim animated sprites, certainly. But, you know, I mean, that's... What is, unless you hire that guy?
It will be good as well. I mean, if they do have the official license, which I'm guessing they do, that if they were to be able to put like clips from the cartoon into the final game, I mean, to give it a bit more of an air of authenticity, that would be quite cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'd like to just echo what you said there, Rob. If it does come and it's a really good run-and-gun platform game, then we know they can be done on the Dreamcast. I mean, you've got things like Gunlord, quite well loved. So yeah, I mean, like I said earlier on, it's an exciting time to be a Dreamcast owner. And the new games are just coming thick and fast at the moment. I think it's become...
It's ridiculous.
It's like a renaissance for the Dreamcast, you know.
it's the renaissance man's console. It's the renaissance man's console. Yeah, it is a renaissance. That's the perfect word to describe it. It's like, it's not just there's one or two games that have come out and there's some like crazy guys still programming. It's like this wave all at once of... I mean, I've lost track now. I've legitimately lost track of all the games that are coming down the pipe. And yeah, it's great. Buy a Dreamcast.
That is that's a perfect segue to like link into our next topic. And we're not now talking about games that are coming, that are being funded. We're talking about games that are actually here right now that are brand new. And the first one is Volgar the Viking. Very interesting story behind this one. Caleb, do you want to take the lead on this one?
Rise, Volgar! Yes, it's amazing. So basically, what I believe happened is they were going to do a Dreamcast version, so somebody on the Volgar team programmed the Dreamcast version of Volgar the Viking, and then they ended up deciding, because of production costs of CDs and whatnot, they decided not to do it. So then the guy got the permission to just kind of unofficially put up this little website for the Dreamcast version, where you could download the CDI, you could download the graphics. By the way, Adam Korlick, I'm actually sure that I printed out my case, and so I had a complete version of Volgar the Viking before you did, because I got on this news when it first broke. So take that. So yeah, no, it's great. You know, I printed up the DVD, like, you know, box art and stuff. It's amazing. It's so I have like Volgar the Viking, like, you know, in a box, and you know, I was streaming it online, and the game is just it works perfectly. There's no I have Volgar the Viking on PC on and it's literally the gameplay is like just it's so smooth and good. And it's just, it's very just amazing that they didn't consider. Now, I did say that some game companies might consider doing this, where instead of, you know, doing the whole cost of doing professionally printed CDs and boxes and stuff, that they would just say, okay, well, here's the CDI. We're just going to host on the web, and then you pay to download it, and then you have to burn it on a disc to play it. Or, you know, you can use the CDI on, you know, an SD card or something like that. But what they did in this case is that the company just basically just released it for free, which honestly, I think a lot of these games that are coming out for the PC, which are indie games, which are throwbacks, which, you know, are working on, you know, pixel graphics and stuff. I think a lot of these games, they're going to take a look at that and say, wow, there was a lot of interest when this Volgar game was released on the Dreamcast. And I was a little bit disappointed that there wasn't as much press about it. Volgar the Viking Live on YouTube. You can see me try to play it. I've gotten better at the game. I've actually gotten to the second level. I mean, what was your impressions? I saw that you put a video up there too where you were playing it with the wireless controller.
Basically, my history with downloading and burning games is very hit and miss. So when I downloaded the CDI and burned it using Boot Dreams, I wasn't overly optimistic that it would actually run in my Dreamcast, but then when I put it in and I realized that the Dreamcast was actually reading something that I'd burnt myself, I was like, what is this magic? It's actually working. And then, you know, it sprung to life.
I know.
And it was like, oh my God, I've actually burnt something that works. And then it was literally, my jaw was like hanging open that I was actually playing a game that previous to that morning when I did it, I'd never heard of before. And then, you know, wonderful pixel art, and you know, it's got all the music and all the effects, and it's got all the controls, even little things like you would expect in like a modern game that you wouldn't expect in like a free downloadable game, like prompts on the screen telling you what to do next, you know, how to control the character and all that kind of thing. I was aghast that this was free. You know, one other thing that I have to note though about the game is that it's so difficult. I mean, I've not actually got past I've only got not even halfway into the first level yet before every time being killed and having to go back to the start. So
I got to the second level, and that's a solid like 2 hours of game playing for me, because I picked it up and I was messing around for about 45 minutes, and then I did another two sessions, and it was about, you know, it's two solid hours of gameplay that I was really enjoying, and like I would just get further, a little bit further every time. And so I did get to the second level. I got the fire sword, found the secret potion.
Once you get to the second level, do you have then the option to start from the start of the second level next time you play? Or
once you die, then you starting from the second level. Yeah,
I haven't played this. Oddly enough, I didn't have any sort of any knowledge of it at all. Like when you say it's really hard, like I've seen a bit of footage obviously since, because you guys put stuff up. Is it like Spelunky? Is it like you're just punished by the environment for any
no.
mistake?
It's Spelunky tries to get the old school aesthetic, but Spelunky's a little bit like, I don't know how to quite describe it. Spelunky's a great game. It's a little bit floaty, so sometimes you can kind of get into situations where really unfair. Volgar the Viking, like if you pull off the right move, like nothing can touch you. Like it's just the controls are so good that it's a hard game, but you know, the controls are so tight that it's like whenever you die, it's because you screwed up and you did something wrong.
To me, it kind of it has a an air of Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah,
Rust. It's got Ghouls and Ghosts, and then it's got the visuals of like Rastan or something like that. Maybe.
Yeah, it's like I say. I thought it was great. And to be given this game for free, then you know, I have to applaud. Is it Mark Hall who did the coding and the release? So yeah. If you want to know more about this game, then head to the Junkyard and you'll see that we've got an article. Likewise, on the Facebook group, I think you've put your stream up, haven't you, Caleb? Is it still available?
I cut down a little bit on the stream because there was a little bit of wonkiness with the my setup. But, I mean, God, with the HDMI like upgrade from – well, not upgrade, from the HDMI scaling, like the game just looks so amazing. I was playing on an HD TV. Like streaming it full HD to like, and it's so great. So yeah, that video is up. You can find that on the Facebook, and also if you just search Volgar Live on Volgar Dreamcast Live on YouTube, or look for my YouTube page, which is called Blanco.
The other game that has recently been announced and is now available to purchase is a game called Fruity. And this looks like a quite a basic looking puzzle game, but one of the puzzle games that you know the type. It's really easy to begin with, but then gets really difficult as you progress. I've not actually played this one yet. I have purchased it, and it's on its way, I believe. But it costs €2.99, which is about £1.80 or something. And it comes in a DVD case with a printed inlay. It's got a proper pressed CD. So it looks really good.
I have no idea how they're covering the costs. Yeah. It literally cost $10 American shipped from overseas. Like, that's craziness.
Retro Guru, who are the publishers or the developers of this game, they do have their fingers in a lot of different pots, if you will. So they do homebrew games for not just the Dreamcast, but like for the Wii, and also like I think they do stuff for the Vita as well. I mean, I'm not really bothered personally about where they're getting the funding streams from. All I can say is, like, you know, it's another game that is out for the Dreamcast, and it costs literally nothing. I mean, you'd pay that for a DVD case on its own in the pound shop, let alone with, you know, the game coming in it as well. So, yeah, once that comes, I will do a review of it, and hopefully we'll know a little bit more about it. What did I ask you? I asked if you'd purchased it as well.
Oh, me? Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's ten. I mean, yeah, it's so great because it's like Alice Dreams and Fruity. And I paid like less money than I've paid before for one independent Dreamcast release. So it's really great that, like, finally the prices are going down, you know? So I basically got three Dreamcast games within the last couple weeks, three of them, for less than I paid for, like, the last independent release that I bought.
It really is. It's insane that there's so much support coming for the Dreamcast. It makes you think, what else is coming? I know Retro Sumus, who are working on Amoeba, are also in the very early stages of working on another new game called Xenosider, which we've spoken about before on the pod, but is actually now taking form as a really cool-looking Space Harrier clone with, you know, nice visuals and polygonal enemies and characters. So that's on its way as well. I mean, when's it going to end? And then obviously we've got the big releases from people like Elysian Shadows and Goat Store with Hypertension and Slave. I really want to play Slave. It looks fantastic. I've got to get a copy of that when it comes out.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, and just on this subject, I think we should kind of move on to our next topic of discussion, which is something we spoke about in the intro, which is Ghostblade. Now, we're not going to talk about the game itself. I wanted to just address a few issues that maybe Hughcast, not so much PlayAsia, but definitely Hughcast are having. And that is that a lot of people have been not complaining, but commenting that they paid for the game like years ago and they've still not got it. So, I mean, I emailed Hughcast and asked whether or not, you know, there's an issue or if we could do anything by maybe putting out not a press release as such, but just like a statement from them. And they were quite, you know, menial and said that everybody who's ordered it should be receiving it in the next few days. So hopefully everyone who's ordered it should have it by the time this comes out. We got sent a review copy, so we didn't have any of the issues that a lot of other people are experiencing. But I can totally appreciate the frustration that people would have. Not just that, but one of the other criticisms that a lot of people lay in at the game is the fact that some of the features that were handed around as the killer features in the game have been removed during development, such as the caravan mode and a lot of the graphics effects. Now, I wasn't aware of this because I didn't back the game originally. I just knew of its existence. So when the game arrived for me to review, I was literally looking at it with fresh eyes. You know, I knew the game was coming, but I didn't know any of the history of the game. So I reviewed it as, like I said in the review, as a novice. You know, this is a game new to me. These are my initial impressions. And, you know, I might have been overly nice to the game. I do respect that in hindsight. But I just thought it was a really fun game. And I reviewed it in that sense. It's a fun game. Sure, it doesn't have caravan mode, but it is a bit easy. But for a casual gamer who's not into hardcore shmups, I really enjoyed it. I don't know. What do you think, Rob?
About the game or about the issues? Like,
both?
I think it's too soon to really call it like an issue. I don't think they are complaints. Like, maybe when Hughcast have said that people should have received, you know, they should receive their games the next couple of days, and if they do, then that's fine. I mean, I can understand. I think I maybe empathize a little bit with Hughcast. Like, don't get me wrong, they've taken people's money, you know, and they've made promises, and when a game's done and, you know, the reviewers are reviewing it, then, you know, if people have paid money, and specifically paid money years ago, you know, like, they should be the first people to be playing the game, so I can understand that frustration. Equally, UCAS, they're not like a megacorp, and I can empathize a bit in getting the quantity, because I'm getting a feeling from them, we don't have any numbers, so I'm getting a feeling that it's very popular, yeah. And they've had to get a hell of a lot of the games out very, very quick in a very short space of time. So I think there's probably just a slight delay on some people receiving the games. We'll know more by the end of this week that this pod comes out, but I'm going to guess that everything will be fine. In terms of the game, I'm kind of like you. I came to Ghostblade basically early this year in terms of my knowledge of it, really. I think I agree that if you were a hardcore shmupper and you'd been, when you'd originally back to the game or been following it, they, you know, they promised all these things in 2013, like the caravan mode and time attack and all the rest of it. Yeah, I think I'd be a bit miffed because it's an easy game.
Yeah.
And if you're very used to playing shooters, then you're going to blow through it within a day, and maybe you'll play it a couple more days, but really... And we've said this in our reviews, you know, the reviews stated, like, that there's a training mode, but if you're an advanced shmup player, you don't really need that. So there's nothing but running the five stages with the three different ships, and once you've done that once each, then what else do you do? You know what I mean? Like, just in terms of game modes, I'm not sticking it to the whole game, but just in terms of game modes, stripping them back... it's probably a little disappointing for some, but I'm going to guess maybe that... Or I'm not going to guess. I don't want to, you know, like speak for other people. But I think maybe for a quite decent percentage of the people who have bought Ghostblade, I think the package is probably fine. I don't think, like you, Tom, yourself, like you've just said, you're not like smashing the game against the wall, going, "Where's my caravan mode?" You know, like. It's unacceptable, snapping the disc in half. You know what I mean? Yeah. I hope at least that I could get a lot of heat for this, but I think that's going to be quite a few people's opinion.
It's a tough one. I mean, I don't want to be too hard on the game because it, all intents and purposes, it is a new Dreamcast game in 2015. I know we've had a couple of others which were free, and I think a lot of people's problem is that it's not expensive, but you're paying money for something and you expect a certain amount of longevity in a game. So
you do.
I think that's the issue.
I agree with you, but I think like some of the cool, like, I don't want to just wail on Call of Duty, but like I can remember some of the Call of Duties, and like I suppose people would say, oh well, you buy that for the multiplayer, but you know, some of those games, you like the campaign in and out like in 6 hours.
Yeah.
So something stupid like under 6 hours, and you're paying like, I don't know, $60 US or £45-50. And a lot of the time I would say that money and like in terms of the breadth of a game, the amount of content you get, like a lot of the time it doesn't mean like more content equals good, less content equals bad. You know, I think it's Ghostblade is well priced, and I think that you get a decent package, and I think it's, you know, it's a slick package. But if you're going to turn up and go, oh, you know, like, well, I need all this for my money, then you'll be disappointed.
Yeah, just to give a fair comparison, I would say, but a few months ago, no, this maybe about a year ago, I bid £80 for a game for my Atari Jaguar, which was Bender 2000. Heard that it was all right, you know,
yeah.
But because back then I was hardcore collecting for the Jag. And it came, and it was a pile of shit. And like, I was thinking, what would I spend £80 on? But
yeah,
you know, this game costs like £23, is it? Obviously, yeah. Plus postage. So you know,
look, I agree with you. I think that sort of comparison is fine, and it's made me think. Like, let's compare it to the last shmup that I played and reviewed for the Yard, which was Shikigami no Shiro 2. Now, admittedly, I bought the collector's edition on that, but that was £70-odd, and yes. There's more content in that game. The price difference is huge, you know? And yes, you know, Shikigami no Shiro 2 is slightly more professional because it's come from a huge studio. But I don't agree with people that Ghostblade isn't good value for money.
You've also kind of hit the nail on the head there as well. What you have to remember is that Hucaster are they are quite a small concern in the grand scheme of things. They're not a massive organization. You know, how many people worked on Ghostblade? I'm not entirely sure, but I can't imagine it being more than about 5 or 6.
No.
Yeah. Plus we got to realize too, the whole collectible thing and the whole kind of eBay price bubble right now for video games. Like, you know, I mean, prices, I think, seem to be kind of at an all-time high for video games compared to what they were about, you know, just 10 years ago. You know, it's just a lot of these people buy these games and they buy them as collector's items. And that's going to drive the price up because you got a lot of people keeping these games, you know, new, sealed, and they're basically buying them as collectibles, not as actual video games.
I think we've spoken enough about the Ghostblade. I loved it, Rob. I think you loved it as well.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah, you know, hey, Tom, I gotta say, you know, Metro gave you a really nice shout out there. That was real nice of them, huh? That was great.
I wasn't gonna talk about this, but okay, for those don't know,
let's be careful.
Yeah, let's not discuss that.
All right.
Okay, moving on slightly. Another new development for the Dreamcast. Again, something we've spoken about in past episodes of the DreamPod, is the wireless controller, the DreamCon. Now, the guy who created the DreamCon, Chris, he sent me a fully, you know, working retail unit, if you want to call it that, exactly as if you bought one from eBay, this is what you would get. And it came in an official Dreamcast controller box. It came fully wrapped in cellophane with a little cable already, you know, wrapped up with a little piece of you know, that sort of wire that you get around wires in new things.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
And, it's absolutely brilliant. If you've seen my video review on the Junkyard, you'll know that it works perfectly. One thing I was expecting, because it's, like, Bluetooth and obviously it's reverse-engineered technology, I was expecting it to have, like, lag or something, or there would be some caveat to not be as good as it initially seemed on first impressions. I can categorically say that it is every bit as good as you would, you know, hope it to be. It's just like having a controller plugged into a Dreamcast with a physical wire. I can't find fault with it. It's absolutely stunning. And the fact that it's got two VMUs built in as well.
I know. I was about to say that anybody who's confused of why we're making such a big deal out of this really just needs to go and, you know, this thing has like flash memory built into the actual controller. So you have two free ports that you can plug anything into and it'll work, and you still have two virtual VMUs that you can use to store, you know, stuff on. It's a great piece of technology.
I mean, I didn't know if it would if it would support things like Rumble, because obviously it's got a battery in it and everything like that. But
yeah.
I'm, you know, happy to report that it does support Rumble. All the functions of a normal Dreamcast controller are there, just out of the box. I know with version 1, the little dongle that you would plug into the actual Dreamcast looked a bit sort of odd. I think it was coming out on a wire. This one is kind of reconfigured, so it's literally just stuck to the end of a normal Dreamcast controller wire connector. So it's just like a little box that, you know, sticks to the front of the Dreamcast.
It actually looks nicer. I think it looks nicer than the WaveBird Wireless for the GameCube. It actually looks nicer than that dongle.
Yeah, I mean, there is no... The case of the joypad has not been modded in any way, so there's no big battery pack sticking out the bottom. There's no extra weight. It feels exactly the same weight, if not lighter, than a normal Dreamcast controller. I don't know how he's done it. I don't know how he's created something so professional, but it's perfect. You know, for all intents and purposes, this could be an official product from Sega. Even the little LEDs lighting up and blinking when things are, you know, when the battery's running down, or the holding in the triggers and pressing start when and it brings up the battery thing on the screen, telling you how much battery power you've got left. Everything about the thing is blowing my mind, how somebody can create something so professional, you know, with no real backing. As I say in the video, the only real stumbling block for this thing to go massive is the price point, $150, I believe it is, or £96. And so I think a lot of people have said, especially on the YouTube review, that they can deal with a wire for that price, which, you know, is fair enough.
I mean, it's the thing I always talk about. It's like when you get something that's professionally made and it's like handcrafted with care, like the people that make the Hanzo VGA box, they just did a restock of VGA things, and I bought one of the Kuro units, and that's what I've been using to stream my Dreamcast games live, I have to do a proper review on it, because it's just an amazing piece of technology. And it's like people say, oh, why don't you just buy the $20 piece of crud? And it's like, well, because people clearly have had issues with that, and they don't – it's great on you if you get one and it works properly, but like – The build quality on this thing and like the little extra features that it has, like it just works so much better, and it's not that much more expensive. Like the Kuro, I don't know what the price I paid on it. So it's shipped all the way from Turkey, the most delicious country, and it's the I'm gonna butcher their names, but it's the Behar Brothers or Behar Brothers. If you just look up Hanzo Dreamcast, you can find their website and stuff. But yeah, no, it's just it's people who like, you know, might not know a lot about technology and, you know, electronics, they might not understand why it's so great to have something where it's like this built this tough and this good. Yeah. This thing is clearly going to last me forever. And I think the previous VGA box that I had, it was getting to the point where I was like kind of babying it a little bit, cuz I didn't want to break it.
Yeah, like I agree entirely. I think the market is there. Like I appreciate what people say that they can deal, you know, they can pay, like, I don't know how much you can pick up a wired controller for, but they're not going to blow 100 quid just to get rid of a wire.
Well, the wired controllers for the Dreamcast are getting more and more expensive. Like I was actually shocked to see that the eBay prices actually went up. I don't know what they are right now, but it's like, I think like if you're in a shop or something and they're going by eBay prices, they're going to try to sell you one for like, you know, $15, $20. I mean, much less not one that's like been cleaned up and in a box and stuff like that'll go for even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think the point is that the market is there. Like, I think there are people who like, you know, like places that customize controllers, customize consoles, they're springing up all over the place. Or that's certainly my opinion. You know, like, people want something that, as you say, with the Hanzo, is like really professionally put together and is kind of a bit personal to you, just in terms of the fact that there's not a limited number in terms of rarity, but you know what I mean? There's like a run of these products. And I think as well that there are people who have that money, you know, like a lot of gamer, even if you're a Dreamcast guy, like imagine you're a teenager with a Dreamcast now, however many years down the line, you're going to have a job, you're going to have the money, and you're going to, if some people are going to want that, you know, they're going to want this sort of executive controller. And
I think you're right there, Rob. This thing is aimed at somebody who is a hardcore collector and wants something new for the Dreamcast, you know. I will say now that I didn't actually pay for that one. That one was sent to me to review. So I didn't put down $150, £96 on one. But somebody who has that kind of money, I would totally recommend it, because it's a nice thing to have, and it's a unique thing, because I think he only makes them in batches of 10. So, you know, there's not that many of them around. And in years to come, that thing will be worth, who knows, a lot of money. But it's not about money. It's about, you know, having a love for the system. One thing I didn't mention in the review is that I did ask Chris if the technology was like transferable to other peripherals. And he said, theoretically, any peripheral for the Dreamcast could have this technology built into it. The only thing he said that he might have an issue with transferring this to would be the light guns. But, you know, in future we might see wireless arcade sticks, wireless twin sticks, you know, and, you know, wireless light guns in future, which would be great.
Well, people have already done stuff like that where they did the hack job where they basically convert the PlayStation 2 controllers.
Right.
So they get the wireless units from the PlayStation 2 controllers, and then they kind of just do a hack job where it's like, now you have a wireless controller that works on your Dreamcast. But it's clearly nowhere near this level.
I've never seen that before. I'll have to have a look into that. I didn't know about that.
That's really cool. Like, I like the idea that it could be used in all the peripherals, but knowing full well what like sits within side, like an official Dreamcast arcade stick, because I've modded them, I think the challenge would be significantly less. You've got so much room to play with. I think the thing that's so impressive with the official Dreamcast, the Dreamcon, this version 2, is that he crams it all in just the Dreamcast controller shell, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've taken enough of those things apart to clean them and whatnot to know that there's, you know, a very small amount of space inside. Yeah. One other thing that was mentioned as well, I was following a forum thread on the Dreamcon. I think it was on Assembler Games or Dreamcast Talk, one of the two, where somebody asked Chris if it would be possible to transfer the rechargeable battery technology into a VMU, so that when you plug a VMU into your controller, it actually charges the battery up, so then you don't have to keep in these new CR302s or whatever they are into your yeah. VMUs to keep them, you know, playing while you take them away from your Dreamcast. And he said, again, theoretically, yes, that is possible. So you never know. In the future, we might see rechargeable VMUs start to come out as well, which would be so cool.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to change the type of those batteries, though, wouldn't you? It'd have to be one like in the Dreamcast system, the rechargeable ones, because ones in the VMUs are non-rechargeable.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, could the technology inside the Dreamcon be transferred to the VMU, so that, you know, you could have a rechargeable VMU?
That'd be ace. I would agree that that's ace, but hey, you got two VMUs built into this controller already, so
yeah, that's true. Yeah, but yeah, it's like, again, I keep saying this, but it's an exciting time to be a Dreamcast owner and a Dreamcast fan. So, you know, who knows where, you know, what could come in the future? There's so much really cool stuff happening. There's so many really clever people, you know, yeah. taking control of this thing that.
Customized consoles, customized controllers, new games like ports, port games, you know, work being done to move games over from one system to the Dreamcast, you know, it is the Renaissance. I'm using that word, that's it, it's the Renaissance, it's the Dreamcast Renaissance.
right, guys, so yeah, I think we've touched on that enough now. Next couple of sections are just going to be like some information bursts from us at the Junkyard. The first one is that we will be attending Play Expo Manchester, which is certainly in the UK, one of the biggest gaming events of the year. And we will have our own little sort of section in the retro gaming area. We'll have not a multitude, we'll have about four or five Dreamcasts for people to play on. And we'll have different games running on each of them, including the Ghostblade. And yep. We will also have the DreamCon for people to try out, and we'll be talking about that. We'll have the arcade sticks, we'll have the light guns. It's just going to be a great event, because we're going to be able to talk to you guys who listen to this podcast, you know, in the flesh, discuss the Dreamcast, you know, not just the Dreamcast, but, I mean, we're all gamers anyway, so, you know, we're discussing, you know, current-gen stuff as well. But yeah, I mean, this podcast will be out before then, so hopefully you'll be listening to this en route to Play Expo. So yeah, come and find us in the replay section, and we'll happily burn your ears with Dreamcast rubbish.
Are you gonna have Power Stone 2?
Oh, we'll have the whole lot. Yeah, we'll have everything. We'll have pretty much every game for the Dreamcast available. Excellent. If anyone wants to play anything, ask.
No, when I
we'll put it on.
Yeah, when I did the retro video game tournament locally here, and I had the Dreamcast set up with Power Stone 2, that seemed to be the one game that, like, you know, all the younger people who had never, you know, played a game like that were all, like, really excited to play, because, you know, it's a shame, but it's, like, rare now that you have, like, a four-player game where there's four people sitting in the same room playing the same game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it's,
sure,
boy,
yeah.
It's such a... That's really such a shame that there's so few games that are doing that now.
It's a shame
now.
That Alice Dreams Tournament isn't coming out sort of now, because we would have been able to take it with us and have, you know, these tournaments at the event. Yeah. But yeah.
It would have been perfect, yeah.
Exactly,
Email them, see if they'll send you a build CDI, or maybe just the original game, because I know the original game is workable with four players. So see if they'll send you something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Play Expo Manchester is, like I say, it's probably not the biggest. I think EGX is probably the biggest. That's Eurogamer. But it's definitely one of the biggest in the country. So hopefully, come on down to that, and we'll see you there. Guys, is there anything else you wanted to discuss before we kind of wrap this one up?
I'm going to be on YouTube, basically just on, my username is Blandco, it's Bland and then C-O, Blandco. I'm going to be doing some more Dreamcast streams, so if you want to see the ghetto setup that I have for Volgar the Viking, or if you want to see some of the streams that I'm going to be saving, check that out. I'll try to give a shout out on the Dreamcast Junkyard Fan Facebook website when I'm going to be doing some streaming, live streaming with Dreamcast games. So check me out there, and maybe I'll do Volgar again. You guys can see me die a half a dozen times.
I like the way you describe your setup as ghetto. I think I'll be getting involved with that. A couple of shout outs I wanted to give as well before we go. Again, Chris, the reason I'm not saying your surname is because I'm not sure if you want me to, and secondly, I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce it. This gentleman is Greek. So, you know, take from that what you will. So, Chris, thank you very much for sending the DreamCon for review. That was very much appreciated. And hopefully you'll sell many, many more of those because you deserve to. And it's a brilliant, brilliant piece of kit.
Can we endorse that kit? Can it's like the DreamCon 2 endorsed by the Dreamcast Junkyard?
Chris, if you're listening to this, let us know. I'd like to...
What we'll have a picture of what Tom giving a thumbs up on the box, yeah, or something.
Yeah, basically that.
I approve of this joypad.
Approved by Tom. Yeah.
Another person I wanted to give a shout out to is a guy called Brian. He lives in the Massachusetts area around Boston. He asked me to email him the he asked me to email him the template for our flyers for the events that we do. And he went on his own back to print them out and then spread them around the retro video game shops in Boston to give us some more sort of exposure. So massive thanks to him for doing that.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
And also, again, a big shout out to Ross O'Reilly. Again, the guy who sent me the twin sticks all the way from Japan. I really appreciate that. So thanks to you, Ross. And I think we'll leave it at that. As is the norm here on the Dream Pod, we'll let you know that we've got our own website, which is www.thedreamcastjunkyard.co.uk. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/thedreamcastjunkyard. And also we have a group, which you will find if you go on to Facebook and just type groups, Dreamcast Junkyard. I think we've got just under 600 members now. So it's quite an active group as well. You know, people can sell things on there, just chat about Dreamcast in general, have the odd argument. It's all good fun. And we're all on Twitter as well. Rob, you're on Twitter at
R Nicholas J.
Caleb, you are on Twitter, but you're anonymous. and I'm on Twitter at Tom Lee C. We're also on Twitter as a collective at Sega Junkyard. One other thing I wanted to say as well, it's a bit late now, but I didn't mention this in the last episode, that I wrote a Dreamcast article for Retro Gamer magazine, which was just looking at little, maybe not as well-known Dreamcast games. That was in issue 146. I hope that's right.
I'm going to say, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the one with the Neo Geo on the front anyway, but I didn't mention it in the last episode because I wasn't sure if I was allowed to, but apparently I am. So yeah, go and buy that and read my feature on page 86.
Yeah, it's top right.
Yeah, so that's us, guys. It's been a really interesting episode. We've had a lot to talk about, and as we've kept saying over and over and over again, it's a great time to be a Dreamcast owner at the moment. Rob, this is the age of what?
The Dreamcast Renaissance.
Excellent. You guys for listening, thank you very much. Caleb, thanks for joining us again. And Rob, thank you to you. And that's us. Bye.
Bye.
Please stop this disc now.